This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Federal judges in Rhode Island and Boston intervening to keep critical food assistance programs funded despite a government shutdown. Here's ABC's Jay O'Brien.
The judge, prior to making this ruling, said that he didn't think that there was anything else that qualified as a kind of emergency more than this impending food crisis brought on by the fact that SNAP will run out of money come tomorrow, and some 42 million lower-income Americans who rely on the program to feed their families will start to be left in limbo without any money coming in onto their EBT cards and things of that nature.
President Trump on social media says government lawyers, quote, don't think we have the legal authority to pay SNAP with certain monies we have available, but that it will be my honor to provide the funding just like I did with military and law enforcement pay if the court would clarify how we can legally fund SNAP as soon as possible. Hurricane Melissa blamed for at least 19 deaths in Jamaica. Island officials expect that death toll to rise. And this Sunday, much of the country will turn clocks back 1 hour. This is ABC News. Another sports star becoming the target of a home robbery.
Police in the upscale Oklahoma City suburb of Nichols Hills confirmed ABC News they responded on Thursday night to a burglary at a home that sources say belongs to Oklahoma City Thunder basketball star Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The call came in at around 7:45 in the evening while the Thunder were playing a game. The suspects fled the area before police arrived. It appears nobody was in the home at the time. No arrests have been made. Nichols Hills police say there is, quote, no reason to believe the public is in any danger. Alex Stone, ABC News.
A day after Buckingham Palace announced King Charles was stripping his brother Andrew of all his titles and honors, including prince. New documents released and show including email correspondence between Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein, and then Prince Andrew, inviting the royal to meet his banker at J.P. Morgan. It shows a relationship between Epstein and Andrew after Epstein served jail time for his Florida conviction. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News, weather, and sports for Richland Center right here on WRCE, streaming 24/7 online at WRCE.fm.
NBA, about an hour before game time, Giannis Antetokounmpo, dealing with knee soreness, dropped out of last night's game against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. The Bucks put on quite a show. They went on to win 120-110, thanks to Ryan Rollins playing defense and scoring a career-high 32 points. Head coach Doc Rivers.
He's just tough. You know, he's a tough kid, man. And we got a team full of, like, tough guys, like, you know, resilient maybe is a better word.
NFL, the Packers play the Panthers Sunday. Micah Parsons named the NFC's Defensive Player of the Month.
It's always a great honor to get recognized by your accomplishments. But even though, you know, you just understand more goals, we're working towards something bigger. So, you know, obviously sit back, reflect, appreciate this month.
That's Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with drizzle tonight and lows in the mid-30s. Some sprinkles or drizzle tomorrow morning, mostly cloudy tomorrow afternoon, high mid-40s. Partly sunny, breezy, and highs in the low 50s Sunday. It stays dry to start next week as temps warm. It's 46 right now.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. We start off the month of November with our friend and colleague, the host of Matinair On Air, Jane Matinair, looking back at the weekend headlines and ahead to the future. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
What's going on with Earl Ingram?
The No Kings rallies across this nation, they reminded me of, it was an organization called the Tea Party. Senior citizens were a part of the Tea Party, and there are a lot of senior citizens involved in the No Kings rallies.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. Find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
News from the center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves to watch true crime, but only if it's shoplifting, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Halloween, everybody. Great to have you with me tonight. It is. I mean, could there be a better night for Halloween to fall on? This is so great. A Friday night, Halloween. It's fall. It's a beautiful day. A little crisp, a little chill in the air, but not too bad. And you could not ask for a better Halloween. So hope you're having a great night wherever you are in the state of Wisconsin, wherever you're tuning in from. Welcome to Nightlight. We have an extra special kind of a thrill tonight, I would say. A Halloween thrill, if you will. Last night, Amanda Nimmer filled in for our pal Conrad Krieger, who usually works the board here at Nightlight. And tonight, we have a guy who is no stranger to Nightlight, but he is a Todd Alba rock star, and he joins us tonight to help out Mr. Aaron Zommers. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. How's it going? I see you're decked out in your sharpest prison outfit.
No facility can hold me, man. I burst out today and I pulled an Andy Dufresne, and I'm a free man now. So I'm very excited, rocking the prison garb. So what are you wearing there? I like that. Explain, please.
I can't believe you don't recognize me, Pete. It's me. It's your favorite director and movie star, Tommy Wiseau, from the hit movie The Room. See, I have my movie here on the Blu-ray. Do you need to borrow it, Pete, so you can watch it?
I do. I've never seen it, but you were telling me a little bit about it. What is it?
It's a very terrible movie made by... So Tommy Wiseau, I think now we know a little bit more about him. But at the time, it's like, all right, some random mid-European guy who has a ton of money somehow. No one knows how. And he just went and bought film equipment. Not rented, he bought it and then made this movie. And he just had enough money that no one really questioned it. And it's very bad. It's he can't act and the dialogue is bad. And they have like a 35-year-old playing a 15-year-old.
Now I absolutely have to see this movie. Now, where did you see it? How did you even hear about it? Is it a Halloween movie?
It is not a Halloween movie. Okay. Although it is not suitable for children, I will say. 4 minutes in, there is a 5-minute long sex scene. And
5 minutes.
For those of you who may not realize how long that is, just by the sound of it, it's ridiculous. It's not a good one either, I will add. But I found out about it in college because I have always been a fan of bad movies that are bad in a fun way. And this definitely fits the bill there.
5 minute sex scene. There's probably actual sexual sessions that don't last 5 minutes.
Probably.
Not me, of course.
Theoretically.
Theoretically, exactly. I don't know. I've got this prisoner hat on, and I don't know. This is like an old time thing, I think. I don't think prisoners accessorize like this anymore, or if they're allowed to. It's kind of, I've got kind of the Popeye, the sailor prison outfit, I think.
You know, it's a real shame that prison fashion just isn't what it used to be.
It's not fair. I mean, these guys are, you know, they get outside once an hour. Give them some colorful clothing. Give them something. That's, I mean, they have terrible food from what I understand. Just, you know, hey, we still have that picture of Todd.
Todd, yes,
Michaels,
we do.
Up there. How is that up? What, Amanda did that last night?
I believe so. And it's still there. We don't have to have it there.
I forgot about it. It doesn't bother me. I'm a Todd Michaels fan. So glad to have you guys with us tonight. Aaron is producing from Madison. I'm doing the show from home. Dogs and cats living together. It's pandemonium here tonight on a Halloween episode of Nightlight. So we have a great show. It's the Civic Media All-Star Show. Mike Clemens is going to be here at 6:35, and we're going to talk a little bit about the World Series. He's got some great sound bites from Aaron Rodgers after the Packers-Steelers game. Did you watch that game, Aaron?
I did, yeah. And I've heard the interview that we're about to hear later between Mike Clemens and Aaron Rodgers. And yeah, say what you will about Aaron Rodgers. I certainly have my criticisms of him, but he seems to at least have approached this in a pretty classy manner, even if his stances on modern medicine are not so great.
The guy is kind of weird, but I will say this. He can surprise you, and he is very polished. Like, when he wants to be smooth, he's smooth. He could be a great interview. But yeah, he just does things off the field where you're like the drug darkness cave.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you can do whatever you want. When you have that much money, it probably makes you a little strange. If you didn't grow up with that kind of money, like if all of a sudden you have hundreds of millions of dollars, I don't even know what I would do. What would you do, Aaron?
Probably not a darkness retreat with ayahuasca, but aside from that, I'm not sure. You know, maybe I'd go and buy film equipment and make a movie.
Well, it's funny you say that because a lot of people do that. I met a lot of people over the years that they either come from rich families, or they came into money, you know, and their life plan was to make a movie. So they did, and they didn't know what they were doing, but they got it done. And it sounds like that's the case with your guy. What is The Room? The Room, right?
The Room. Yeah.
I got to write that down. Okay.
Let's see. Came out in, I think, 2001. I don't know, because this is of course a re-release. You know, I don't have my hands on an original first edition The Room.
Oh, but you got to get one and get it signed. So what year was it?
2001. Let's see.
It's a classic.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess, does that count as vintage now?
Sure, it's 24 years. I think so. I'll have to get a copy of that. We've got a lot of fun here tonight, folks. As I said, Mike Clemens will be here at 6:35. It's always great to have Mike on the show. At 7:05 in Act Two, my son Joe will be here for about five or so minutes because he just watched the film The Spotlight. And last night on the show, it was a really fun show. Emerson Lehman came into the studio in Green Bay. We had a lot of fun. And then Todd Michaels came on and we talked paranormal stuff. And Todd gave Emerson and I a quiz. It was a great time. And Emerson's popcorn pick of the week last night was Spotlight, the movie, which won the Oscar for Best Picture. And it's a great film. And it was strange. And I told Emerson this last night, my son Joe had just watched it. So I'd like kind of a refresher for the film too. It's a great movie. I remember loving it. I only watched it once. And when I like a movie that much, I typically will give it a rewatch, especially with a cast like this one has, with Mark Ruffalo, Michael Keaton. It's just a great movie. So we'll get a refresher on that because Joe just watched it. So we'll talk to Joe about that for a few minutes. And then, ladies and gentlemen, what better night they have a bar band Friday night than on Halloween. Our pal Terry Barr will be here, our Wisconsin music expert, who, if you live in the Madison area, you've probably heard the show Max Inc. Radio, the award-winning show Max Inc. Radio on WMDX. Saturday nights from 6 to 9. You can also get all those podcasts at civicmedia.us. A great show. And Terry is a co-host of Max Inc., and she will be here tonight a little early so we can talk about Halloween. I'll see if Terry has any Halloween stories. So three fun guests, a great night. Hope you're having a great Halloween. Let's get to our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Well, it's Halloween, so my question is, what creature or monster scares you the most? What creature or monster scares you the most? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. It's Halloween. It's okay to be creeped out today. Tomorrow we set our sights on Thanksgiving, but for tonight, let's be scared together and let's cower in the corner and talk about our favorite monsters. If you're listening on the app too, you can shoot us a comment over the app, or if you are watching the radio on the stream at YouTube, Facebook, or X, you can drop us a stream comment. Aaron, do you have a favorite or least favorite, I should say, creature or monster?
I don't know. I wouldn't say it scares me the most. I would say I really do like vampire movies. They tend to just have a particular creepiness. Bretton Brown Deer texts in, though, and he says his monster that scares him the most is his first wife.
Brett? I knew we were going to get some comments like that. I assume we'll get a few political comments. We'll probably get some in-law comments. I just saw the text from Amanda, too. Zomer has changed the Squares thumbnail with from Todd's face. I just did that to mess with him yesterday.
I figured.
Oh, too bad.
It's funny.
Too bad.
You know?
He's part of the show tonight. I did get a text overnight from Bud, which I would like to read. Bud from Janesville. He listens on the rebroadcast from 4 to 6 a.m. He's in the 608. He says, "Hey, Pete and Conrad, I haven't caught her name yet. In response to your question, I'm in favor of keeping the time changes. However, I would tweak it a bit by keeping the fall back, but change to spring back. Love your show, Bud from Janesville." Bud, great to hear from you again, buddy. And better late than never. That was last night's question in regard to daylight savings time. Great text, Brett. Thank you. Your first wife. I hope your second wife. Since he says first, that would indicate he is remarried, right?
Presumably.
Presumably, yeah. And then our pal Chris Casper says, "Bigfoot, my father was terrible." What is Chris saying there, Aaron?
I'm not sure. Maybe his dad dressed up as Bigfoot. Maybe his dad is Bigfoot.
He's either got two separate things that really creep him out, his dad and Bigfoot, or he called his dad Bigfoot because his dad has big feet. Now, Chris is like 8 feet 12 inches tall, so I imagine his dad was a large figure as well. Thank you, Casper. Hope you're well, buddy. On the stream, we've got PG say, "Wondering if the prison outfit included pants or were they forgotten again? Ha ha." Well, listen, PG, that's at some point during the show, I will reveal. I'll answer that question and I'll do it most tastefully. So I appreciate your interest. Thank you for the text. And then Dave, watching on the stream as well, says, "Lovely look, Pete." Thank you, buddy. I'm trying to look street. I'm trying to look like I'm not a badass. I have like fair skin. I probably look mostly Irish. I'm very Caucasian. I don't really have like a badass streak. So I feel like if I can dress like a prisoner for one night, like a guy who did time in the 40s.
I was going to say it's a little outdated. Yeah.
It's a little outdated. Dave says, "I'm listening from a quarter mile away tonight." Oh, that must mean Dave is in Marinette. Welcome home, buddy. It's good to be back in the Big M. Good to have you. So that's our question for tonight, folks. I'm going to say, and this is, how much time do we have, Aaron?
We got about a minute and a half.
Skinwalkers are my creepiest. They freaked me out and I didn't even know what they were until like a month ago. And it's like a American, Native American type thing, like a witch that can transform. And I saw a video and it was like a wolf and then it went to this and then to that. It was very creepy. And even the name Skinwalker is creepy.
The name is very creepy.
Yeah. It's like the first time I've heard the word shapeshifter was from my kids. And I was like, that's a creepy title. I don't even know what that meant at the time. You know what a shapeshifter is?
Yeah. I mean, similar to a skinwalker, just not necessarily creepy, where it's like, you know, you can change form from something into another.
Seems kind of vague. I'm not going to lie. So, all right. Let us know, folks. What creature or monster freaks you out the most? Happy Halloween, everybody. Mike Clemens is here. Terry Barr. We're going to talk about Spotlight at 7:05. A great night here on Nightlight. Aaron Zomers is along for the ride. Riding shotgun. Keeping Conrad's seat warm. We are coming right back to read your texts and talk about Halloween stories. It's Beach Wabbit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
The Communist Control Act of 1954, it's pertinent to the fight we're in. It's a tool that needs to be utilized, and they need to support the president in obtaining that objective.
Is Joe Giganti right? Does a U.S. law ban the Communist Party? Yes. The 1954 Communist Control Act bans the Communist Party, labeling it a conspiracy to overthrow the U.S. government. Though rarely enforced and mostly repealed, it remains law. Harvard Law professor Mark Tushnet said it could still be applied. In June, Republicans urged President Donald Trump to use it against New York City mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani, a Democratic socialist. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back. Happy Halloween, everybody. Our question of the night is, what creature or monster scares you the most? I said a skinwalker, which is like a Native American mythical creature that can take on different shapes, like a wolf or a werewolf or a witch. Aaron says, what did you say, Aaron?
Yeah, I think I didn't really give an answer on the other side, but I think I'm going to go with any monster that can disguise themselves as a normal human being. Like,
oh, you kind of said shapeshifter, yeah.
Yeah, pretty similar. Where in a lot of media, in like a movie or a game, the way they're portrayed, or I guess a book too, they'll be talking and they might say something kind of weird, and then you see like a weird glint in their eye or something, and then you know, oh, you're screwed.
Oh, yeah. That's great. I don't really believe in ghosts. Hey, do we have a phone call? Is Ollie on the phone?
Yes, we have her on the line.
Let's take Ollie's call, and then I'll tell my story. Hi, Ollie.
Hi, happy Halloweeny.
Happy. Oh, Ollie, watch your language. I'm kidding. Happy Halloween, Ollie. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. My thing that I don't like anymore is seagulls. And for one particular reason, ever since I was young and I saw the Alfred Hitchcock movie, The Birds.
Yeah.
I can't stand them.
Really?
You know, when you get, if you go like close to, like, Duluth or any place where there's water, and the gulls are flying down at you looking for food. Ooh, it just reminds me so much of that movie. It just gives me the creeps.
And that's kind of even creepier than, like, a Bigfoot or werewolf or something, because these are real, and they can attack you. Like, they have been known to do that at times. So
yes, if anybody hasn't seen that movie, that's my popcorn pick of the month.
There you go. That's a great movie, and I'm a huge Hitchcock fan as well. Thank you so much, Ollie. Be safe up there in the North Woods, okay?
I sure am. You guys have a
all
good
right.
night. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ollie. Yeah, I would say probably, like, growing up, like, the scariest stuff was, like, a werewolf I always thought was scary. Vampires. Frankenstein never really, that just seemed, like, too weird. But, like, werewolves just seemed so real, like, it could happen, you know?
Yeah. Or there'd be, like, clips of horror movies would play inside Blockbuster when I went there, back when that was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And there was some boogeyman movie that came out in the 2000s, and the clip that they showed had people being pulled inside their bed. And I was like, oh, no. The bed is where I go to get away from the scary things.
Right. I remember that when I was a kid, we were watching The Wolfman. And we had this room in our house when I was a kid, and we were all in a room, and there's a babysitter. There was like five of us within 6 years. We were all pretty close together. And one of my brothers was so freaked out. He was standing out in the hallway. And I'm like, in a dark hallway, looking into the room. He didn't want to be in the room where all the light and people and TV was. He would rather stand out by himself. And I remember thinking, boy, that's crazy. Because you're the one that's going to get it, you know?
It's always the person who ventures off on their own.
And they do. I know. Exactly. Let's look over here. Do you believe in ghosts, Aaron? What's your take on that?
I haven't seen anything to convince me in either direction. By default, I'm more skeptical on those kind of things. So I'd err towards no. But a lot of people I know say that they've had run-ins, and I can't tell them they haven't experienced what they've seen. So
correct. Oh, that's a very sane way to look at it. I have a lot of friends like that, too. I don't know where I stand on it. I'm open-minded, but a skeptic. But the people I talk to, like, they sound like Todd Michaels last night. This guy has, like, you know, he's investigated this stuff. And he's a skeptic.
Right.
So it's not like people are full believers. Like, I know people that believe in Bigfoot. I don't know how I feel about that. But who am I to say it doesn't exist? That's kind of my take on the whole thing. Dave says, since we're in the same city, I should come by and see if you're giving out full-size Snickers, okay? And he says, you look funny without hair. I got a haircut today, and maybe I'll show that later in the show, Aaron. You think that'll draw a few more stream people?
Yeah, you know, you better stick around if you want to see Pete's new haircut.
You want to see my haircut and what I'm wearing below the equator, you're going to want to stick around, folks. And I did get a haircut today, and I realized there are awkward silences with people cutting your hair because you don't know them. Like, you have... It's weird. When you're getting your haircut, you're like, it's like 2 minutes of great conversation. Then it's like, okay, where do we segue from there? And then it's like a minute of silence. And it's like, so do you live locally? It's almost like you're on a first date. It's very strange. So let's go to the social media comments. We've got my friend Mike on social media says the IRS. Okay. Is there still an IRS? I don't know. For now, Bob Dennis, our mafia expert, Bob Dennis, sent in a picture of himself as Frankenstein, and it is chilling. And you're a much more handsome guy than that, Bob. Matt Harper, Green Bay rock rap artist, says, Karens. Karens scare him. How about that Karen at the Brewer game? Or the one at the Philly game that took the baseball from the guy? And, oh, my God.
Some people just it's a family event. Everyone's here to have fun.
I was kind of mad at the guy for giving it to her. I understand he was trying to de-escalate, but whatever. Daniel Wheeler says lamprey eels. Totally with you, Danny Wheels. Very creepy stuff. My pal Tim Baker says possessed Regan. Yikes. Do you know what that means, Aaron?
Possessed what?
Regan. Is that from a movie, like a horror movie?
I'm not sure.
It's not Reagan. It's Regan. And he's got yikes in all caps. Thank you, Tim. Richard Vargas says, scariest Pinhead from the Hellraiser series.
Ooh.
If I could be my favorite monster, it would be a werewolf. Oh, he wants to be a werewolf. Start a file on Richard. I'm kidding. Thank you, buddy. Great text. And we've got some texts on the actual text line. Chris Casper says, it must be nice to have hair. Got less of it today, Chris. You're still a very handsome man, though. But thank you. All right, when we come back, our pal, sports authority here at Civic Media, Mike Clemens, will keep us posted on Luke Fickell, Aaron Rodgers, the Packers, the Brewers. We're going to do it all. It's a Bar Band Friday night. Terry Barr here at 720 tonight. Great to have you with me. Happy Halloween, everybody. We're coming back after the news. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Federal judges in Rhode Island and Boston intervening to keep critical food assistance programs funded despite a government shutdown. Here's ABC's Jay O'Brien.
The judge, prior to making this ruling, said that he didn't think that there was anything else that qualified as a kind of emergency more than this impending food crisis brought on by the fact that SNAP will run out of money come tomorrow, and some 42 million lower-income Americans who rely on the program to feed their families will start to be left in limbo without any money coming in onto their EBT cards and things of that nature.
President Trump on social media says government lawyers, quote, don't think we have the legal authority to pay SNAP with certain monies we have available, but that it will be my honor to provide the funding just like I did with military and law enforcement pay if the court would clarify how we can legally fund SNAP as soon as possible. Hurricane Melissa blamed for at least 19 deaths in Jamaica. Island officials expect that death toll to rise. And this Sunday, much of the country will turn clocks back 1 hour. This is ABC News.
No Giannis, no problem. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. About an hour before game time, Giannis Antetokounmpo, dealing with knee soreness, dropped out of last night's game against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. The Bucks put on quite a show. They went on to win 120-110, thanks to Ryan Rollins, playing defense and scoring a career-high 32 points. Head coach Doc Rivers.
He's just tough. You know, he's a tough kid, man. And we got a team full of, like, tough guys, like, you know, resilient maybe is a better word.
NFL, the Packers play the Panthers Sunday. Micah Parsons named the NFC's Defensive Player of the Month.
It's always a great honor to get recognized by your accomplishments. But even though, you know, you just understand more goals, we're working towards something bigger. So, you know, obviously sit back, reflect, appreciate this month.
That's Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's one of Pete's picks. Truth and Treason is a really good film set in World War II Germany. The plot sees Helmuth, a teenage boy, watch his Jewish friend taken away by the Nazis, which changes his outlook on Hitler's Germany. After hearing messages from around the world on an old radio conflicting what he hears at home, Helmuth spreads the word covertly at night until he is caught. The film is based on a true story, and the parallels to what is happening currently in America are undeniable. The story is inspiring, and the lead character, courageous. Definitely worth a look. Even if you happen to see a movie that does not feature Paul Rudd in the cast, he's convincing other actors to take roles. Bobby Cannavale said it was Rudd who convinced him to take his role in Only Murders in the Building for season 5. The Tony Award-winning Cannavale plays talking corpse Nicky Cochimilio, a mobster who gets whacked. Season 5 comes to a close Tuesday night, October 28th. I have to check out that show. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with drizzle tonight and lows in the mid-30s. Some sprinkles or drizzle tomorrow morning, mostly cloudy tomorrow afternoon, high mid-40s. Partly sunny, breezy, and highs in the low 50s Sunday. It stays dry to start next week as temps warm. It's 46 right now.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Cam Stevenson.
I don't think we've seen destruction at the White House like that since 1812.
The only people working hard in Washington, D.C. right now are the demolition workers tearing down the east facade of the White House. Let's bring in a whole demolition crew, Cam. That was, right. I mean, the metaphor of the year.
It's very symbolic to see the symbol of power in the United States demolished.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
The exact
Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, Deb Cronmiller, is here. There is a proposal for an independent commission to draw maps in Wisconsin. What a crazy whacked out idea.
How long have people been talking about getting an independent commission in Wisconsin?
You know, going back to 1971, that was the last time that our legislature and our governor actually agreed on maps.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
She's a chef, a bartender, and a state rep, calling herself the wild card in Wisconsin's governor race. Meet Francesca Hong.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Saturdays and Sundays at noon.
It's Halloween, huh? Got a big discussion with this with my assistant, Daryl. I was like, I don't give a shit if it's Halloween, all right? We're trying to win a game, period. Well done, Waller. Yeah, it's a Friday in the National Football League. That's what day it is.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
Welcome back. That was Coach Matt LaFleur. Compliments of our next guest, Civic Media Sports Authority, taking time out on a Halloween, much less a Friday night, to spend some time with us here at Nightlight. Our pal Mike Clemens. Hey, buddy.
Hi, Pete.
That was something. I don't know if we needed the profanity, but I'm kidding. It was great. That was a great clip.
It's Matt LaFleur today, and I think his PR director set him up for something. You know, the Packers actually did have a costume contest. Coming out of training camp, they had a party celebrate the end of training camp. And the reason we knew was because LaFleur came into like a Monday morning press conference and he shaved off his beard. He just had his mustache. We said, what's with losing the beard? And he says, you know, he had a little party over the weekend. It was a costume party to celebrate the end of training camp. Well, what'd you go as? Burt Reynolds, he said. Oh, okay. And we moved on, and I've been waiting to ask him at the right time. You know, I have these little brushes with him from time to time, but to say, okay, now let me get this straight, because I don't think, you know, 22-year-old Matthew Golden knows who Burt Reynolds was, right? Like, were you the Smokey and the Bandit Burt Reynolds? Were you the Longest Yard? Were you Celebrity Jeopardy? Norm MacDonald was Burt Reynolds,
yeah.
with the big yellow hat, you know? Yeah, it's great. A big hat. It's funny, you know? Remember that line?
That was great.
So I got to ask him about that sometime. But, yeah, the last time I think the team had a costume party around Halloween turned out to be a little disastrous because I think it was in 2021, and that's where the players had a costume party, and they did it at this classic car museum that's in downtown Green Bay. And they all partied, and when we were still like wearing masks and things because of the pandemic. And then the following week, Aaron Rodgers tests positive for COVID and had to skip out of the Chiefs game. And door got blown off about whether he was inoculated or not, or vaccinated.
Vaccinated, so, yeah, right.
Yeah, so we don't have parties like that anymore in season. We do that at the end of training camp or after the season.
Well, the Packers have a lot to be kind of lighthearted about lately. I mean, are they atop the division? I think they're atop the division right now, aren't they? And having a pretty good time.
Still. I mean, the Detroit Lions are coming on. They caught the Lions off guard week one. The Lions are playing very well. A lot of people still think they might be, if not the best team in the NFC, but in the NFL. But the Packers are holding on by, if you will, half a game because they won that one. And they're going to take on the Carolina Panthers Sunday here at noon. I'm calling you from the office here in the media area at Lambeau Field. But that was just a brilliant win Sunday night against the Steelers, which, by the way, drew 28 million viewers, which was like some of the highest ratings ever for Sunday night football in the history of the game on that night.
That's incredible. Well, there's so much drama, you know, with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they do seem, Mike, like the Packers are just like jamming. Like at first, like the first few weeks when Micah Parsons was there, it was, you know, he seemed like he was kind of trying to find his footing And now he just seems like he's exploding. And it seems like he's had a peripheral effect anyway, but now he's like really seems like in midseason form, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been a huge addition to the defense, and he was all over Aaron Rodgers. So this was interesting. You know, you knew in May when you looked at the calendar and Rodgers was in talks with Mike Tomlin and going to Pittsburgh, that, oh, wow, hey, look at this. And the schedulers, they put the Packers and the Steelers together week 8 on Sunday Night Football for ratings, and it came back for them because they thought by that time the Steelers will be adjusted to Aaron Rodgers and they'll have their act together. It should be a pretty good game, which it was. Steelers were up 16-7, and then Jordan Love comes back and just has, like, the best second half of his career. I think his quarterback rating was over one. It was a 132. He threw 20 consecutive passes that were for completions. Just a crazy performance by the Packers against a well-coached Mike Tomlin team. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, looking better than he has in the last 2 or 3 years out there, rolling around and everything. So,
yeah.
So, Pete, the week of the game, you know, I hear some people, like in Pittsburgh, like, oh, the media is trying to make this a big revenge game, and Aaron said it wasn't. Oh, we are not. We're asking Aaron, what do you want to make it? What is this game like for you? And he says, it's not a revenge game. It's, you know, I got a lot of memories playing those guys. Okay, fine. And you know, Aaron has dialed it back since the Jets told him, yeah, we don't want you anymore. We don't need you on McAfee. We don't need to be worried about how you think that, you know, the new head coach, Aaron Glenn, is going to roll things out. We're going to release you. That when he went to Pittsburgh, I think maybe that was something maybe he had to agree to or he woke up to, like, you know, maybe if I just stick to football and do the local press conferences and stay off of McAfee and, you know, get off the national stuff, maybe that's best for me and the team and being successful and all that. So I found out once we got to Pittsburgh in the press box before the game started Sunday night, we asked, you know, so, hey, thank you for getting us that Zoom call with the Wisconsin media, and some of the national guys were on there. How did that go about? And the PR director for the Steelers said, you know, we had all these requests for people that wanted to do one-on-ones with Aaron about what's this going to be like playing the Packers, your old team. And there was too many of them. And, you know, Sunday Night Football, NBC, when NBC's in town, they take up a lot of your time. And, by the way, you still got meetings and practices to prepare for the game. So it was the PR department's suggestion to Aaron, like, you know, how about we could do this as a Zoom call, we could do right before that meeting on Thursday afternoon. And Aaron's reply was, and this is the good behind-the-scenes stuff, is, what would it take? Why should I have to do that? Give me the reasons, you know, tell me why I should do that. And not in an argumentative way, just like, let's talk about the pros and cons of this. You know, let's pump the brakes. You know, why can't I just get my message out with the Pittsburgh reporters? So the PR department gave him several reasons why, and he said, okay, all right, I'll do it. So he hooked us up with a Zoom call, and there was, you know, invite only, but I got in with some of the Wisconsin reporters, some of the national guys were on there, and then they called on me, and so I was trying to decide, okay, what am I going to ask? Because I know everybody else was going to ask, you know, well, what about revenge, and what about this, And I thought, well, what can I ask that will be different? And there was two questions. Because you go to any coffee shop in Wisconsin, tell them what you do, cover the Packers. They say, yeah, so what's the name of his new wife now? Is he actually married? Right? There's that question. And then I had one personal one. Back in 2021, they had just lost to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, who went on to win the Super Bowl. And some of the players were still hanging around town. And there was a woman that was driving her car down Mike McCarthy Way across the street from Lambeau Field by the Don Hudson Center where they work out, and she saw this red pickup truck with some dude with a beard and a winter cap on holding up a case of beer. And she snapped a picture of it, and she put it on social media and said, is that Aaron Rodgers? And then he saw it, you know, later and said, yeah, that's me. And I retweeted that. And it went viral. So I've never had a chance to ask him kind of off to the side, like, how did you end up, you know, whose truck was it specifically? It turned out to be David Bakhtiari. He told me that it was his truck. But so that's the question I asked for Aaron, and here it took off. Listen to this.
That's great.
Okay, next up, Mike Clemens from Wisconsin Radio Network.
You got unmuted, Mike.
I was listening to your comments yesterday and the good times you had in Green Bay, and all I could think of was that here you are, the MVP. It's like 21, and you're in the back of a red pickup truck with your teammates crossing Oneida, holding up a case of beer. And I retweeted that. It got over a million hits of all the things you've accomplished.
Well, congrats for that.
I mean, what was happening that day? And talk about some of those times that maybe weren't so public.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember exactly whose vehicle that was, but there was like a bunch of cases of beer in the back. So, you know, you guys would always take that walk back, and whether I was riding in the back of a truck or riding on that silly golf cart that D-Bot gave me, we were always messing around, having a good time. Those are some of the most fun. I mean, going way back, we had a crazy crew. I mean, some of the shenanigans and pranks that me and Brett Goode pulled on some of the rookies over at St. Norbert's, the constant battle between Flynn and Graham, and TJ Lang and Josh Sitton, what they would do on the road. It got so crazy, some of the pranks they were pulling, that Mike at one point said, you know, cut that shit out, no more of that stuff, because they were doing some wild stuff. But it's that stuff that I remember, the plane flights. You know, there was a time back then, we used to fly on a plane at 8 first class seats, and that was like, you know, Ted, you know, Bob Harlan into Mark and the brass and a couple of coaches, and all of us were in the 3x3 seats in the back. And we had this thing for a while where people just start throwing pillows and blankets at each other, like when the plane was landed, guys that were sleeping, you know, if you were sleeping. Larry McCarron can probably attest to this, because he was always sitting like in a row in front of me. And there'd be guys like flinging the wrapped up blankets and rolling them up in the pillows at people and waking, you know, there's always like, you know, some of the media was in front of us and you know, PR and community relations, they'd all be on the same plane, and they were catching strays on the plane sometimes. So, you know, those things are great. It's like, you know, it was such a tight knit group for so long there. You know, I outlasted most of them, but it's fun. You know, that's why I feel so, you know, feel so good about my time there, because damn near everything great in my life is because of, you know, my football career. My football career starts and will end one day with Green Bay. So I got a lot of love for all those memories and a lot of great friends that I still carry with me to this day.
Boy, great question, Mike. He you got him going.
Well, that's the way we used to talk on Fridays, you know, when it was no microphones, just, you know, kind of goofing around and having a little fun like that. I mean, Aaron he's super smart. He's super self-critical. He's very critical of everybody around him, you know, a perfectionist that way. But he's off, you know, he likes to have a good time. And, you know, when he mentions like Graham Harrell in there, backup quarterback, Matthew Flynn, Josh Sitton, TJ Lang, those guys have all been gone for 10 or 12 years now, see?
Yeah,
and it's the same thing like with Favre. You get to be 36, 37 years old, you're on your third generation of the roster, and you feel like an old man. And that's part of the reason he goes into the darkness retreat, comes out and says, you know, maybe I need to go to another team. And he moves on to the Jets.
Whatever he's doing, it's working for him. My guest is Mike Clemens. He is our Civic Media Sports Authority. Does a great job covering the Packers, the Bucks, the Brewers, the Badgers. We also have Mike. You sent us a clip, Mike Parsons, and we heard this on your update, and we talked about this a little bit earlier in the interview, that he is the Defensive Player of the Month. That's impressive. That's already, I mean, can you imagine if they didn't go after him? It was that is looking more and more every day like an amazing deal.
Well, it's not only him, but, you know, now offenses have to plot for him, and that opens up the door for, you know, for Rashawn Gary and for, you know, we even talked to Colby Wooden, you know, defensive lineman, you know, Devontae Wyatt, guys getting to the quarterback. So if you want, if we have to take a break, I can play a little clip of what Mike had to say about that coming up.
Let's do that. We'll do that after the break. Mike Clemens is here. This is Pete Schwab with Nightlight. I've got distracted there. It's Halloween, everybody. Great to have you with me on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You'll catch on in a flash. Then you can mash. Then you can monster mash. Mash. Easy to go. You imp. Monster mash. Mash. Monster mash.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose announced October 28th that his office had referred 1,200 illegal voting cases to the U.S. Justice Department for prosecution. But his track record of convictions is less than stellar, and many of the cases were previously declined by Ohio county prosecutors for lack of evidence. In 2024, LaRose demanded county prosecutors act on 633 cases of alleged voter fraud LaRose had referred for prosecution during his tenure. Only 12 cases were pursued, and only 6 resulted in an indictment because there wasn't enough evidence. The year before, LaRose pulled out of ERIC, the multi-state cooperative which updates state voter registration lists for voters who've moved, died, or may have duplicate registrations. In his latest crusade, which includes the cases county prosecutors chose not to prosecute, LaRose claims that 1,084 non-citizens registered to vote unlawfully in Ohio, including 167 non-citizens who cast a ballot in a federal election. Another 99 Ohio voters voted in 2 states in the same election, 16 voted twice in Ohio, 14 voted in a federal election after the date of their death, 4 engaged in ballot collection, and 2 registered where it was not their primary residence. It's now up to federal prosecutors to separate fact from fiction. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Let's say you have a couple who's about to get married. You get them a gift at the wedding shower. You get them a gift at the wedding. You get them a gift at the baby shower. If they buy a house, you get them a housewarming gift.
I have never been married. I doubt I ever will be. What do? You just say, I'm going to celebrate my singlehood. Bring me a gift. Brett Brown Deer says, Todd, you don't get a gift for not getting married because you already won by staying single.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Busted pencils, fully lettered education talk.
You know, one of those things, and speaking about AI, guess what I did? I used AI to prepare for the show today, Johnny. You know, of course I did. I got it together, put up a little outline. You know, the suggested title, AI, Apocalypse or Opportunity?
Fucking well, guess what the AI thinks, Tim.
Yeah. Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts and at civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. It is Halloween. Friday night Halloween, that doesn't happen very often. Hope you're partying safely, folks. Whatever you're doing tonight, going to a party, sitting in, watching some colored television, whatever it is, just be safe and have a blast. We're having a blast here on Nightlight right now because my pal Mike Clemens is here, Civic Media Sports Authority, talking Packers, and we just heard that great Aaron Rodgers story, Mike, and you've got a clip here of Micah Parsons, too. Let's hear that because he's having a heck of a week.
The one where I was like honking him down, and I was like this close to getting on, and then he was like, I heard the crowd. I was like, that's some dead shit right there. I was like, because I'm going, so I'm like, crowd, shh. He's great to play, and he told me to buy his house.
What are you talking about, Aaron Rodgers?
What he was talking about there, what he was talking about was he had sacked Aaron Rodgers once, and Micah Parsons kind of keeps a mental checklist of which quarterbacks he's sacked, which ones are still on his to-do list. You know, he thinks of himself like, you know, the cheetah chasing the gazelles or the rhinos or whatever out on safari, right? So he finally gets his first sack on Aaron in this game against the Steelers the other night. Later in the game, he's coming off their left side, and he's chasing Aaron from behind. And Aaron, suddenly starts, like, senses someone's coming from behind him and quickly gets rid of the football. And Parsons was like, dang, you know, I had him dead to rights. I was going to take him out. And so he said after the play, he asked Aaron, how'd you know I was coming? He says, because I could hear the crowd. Like, well, that's some veteran blank stuff right there, you know.
Wow. Isn't that
great? I mean, that's how good Aaron Rodgers is.
Crazy.
He's rolling out, but he hears the crowd roar come up, and then he's like, oh, you know, it must be Parsons or somebody closing on me. Better get rid of the ball, which he did, and saved himself from being sacked. And then as Parsons was walking away, Aaron said, why don't you buy my house in Green Bay? He's trying to sell the house, you know. So that's the kind of fun that they're having out there. But also, after the game, Aaron Rodgers was asked, gee, you know, that go pack, go chant that was going on in the second half. I mean, did you hear that? He said, yeah. Yeah, he said, I heard that for 18 years. He said, yeah, it's the first time in a long time I had to use the silent count for a home game.
Wow.
That's how intense the Packer fans were in Pittsburgh Sunday night.
Mike, I just want to ask you a question about his successor, Jordan Love. Like, Rodgers is pretty intense at times. Tom Brady was intense. All these guys, Jordan Love kind of reminds me of Joe Montana a little bit. He doesn't have the accomplishments or anything like that. I'm not comparing his stats yet, but this guy, he does not get rattled, does he?
No, he hasn't. He really hasn't. He gets a little terse, you know. I mean, going way back, so did Bart Starr, you know, really. Yeah. Of course, Favre always seemed to find a way to have fun with stuff. But, you know, in his own way, Jordan can really focus. And now he just has to work on that consistency. And, you know, I thought halfway through that game Sunday night, I thought, okay, we haven't seen this Jordan Love since that playoff blowout they had against the Cowboys, you know, year before last. Against Mike McCarthy's team down in Dallas,
right,
in the divisional playoff with a huge upset. That's the kind of zone that he was in. Now they just got to figure out how he needs to figure out how he can continue to do that. But this one ball he threw to Christian Watson for 33 yards over the middle, I'm watching him through the binoculars, and he's changing a play. And then I'm like, oh, my God, hurry up, man. I dropped the binoculars. He's still got 13 seconds left in the play clock. So I go back to watching the clock, and he's in no hurry. He's in complete control, and he makes one other signal. I asked Christian Watson about the play, and he says, yeah, he changed the play twice. That's how calm and command. And when you don't have offensive linemen that are jumping off sides and giving you pass protection, that's what this kid could do.
Wow, great point. I want to ask you about the Badgers, but I also, because you mentioned Luke Fickell might be on the hot seat, but also I understand you want a costume contest, Mike. So I don't know where to go. Maybe we can get both of those in.
Well, yeah, just in terms of the Fickell thing, the athletic director Chris McIntosh came out and said overall the program needs more funding. You know, we've got to have more funding to pay these players to stay here or to lure them, because right now we're in last place. And recruiting is going to be very tough this year with the nosedive that the program took in the win-loss record this year. In terms of Halloween costumes, I was talking off the air to Zombers, and I said, you know, once upon a time I was 20 and partying on the streets of Madison on a Saturday night on Halloween. And at the last minute I got an idea, because I was already working at a radio station. I got some tapes. I got one of my dad's old suits, and I bought one of those Richard Nixon rubber masks to pull over my head. And so I'm walking the street, and then my friend said, hey, listen, you should go up there for the costume contest. So they put me in the category of best monster. And I'm next to these theater student, you know, kids from Madison that have got Frankenstein and Dracula and the Mummy, these incredible theater costumes. And they did, you know, by audience approval, and Nixon won as the best monster costume.
What are you doing tonight, Mike? You going to a party or something?
Oh, I wish. I wish. No, I'm going to be monitoring the World Series and then doing updates for our civic media stations after that. But, you know, you know what? By chance, in Pittsburgh, the night before the game, I went to this place that was on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and I walked in, and they were having a costume party. So it was fun to watch all these people in these great different costumes. One guy dressed up as Ace Frehley from Kiss, you know, who just passed away.
Yeah.
Too soon, you know, and I just told them, you know, I'm here as I'm going as an NFL reporter, and that was my costume. So
it's okay to spectate sometimes. Buddy, thank you so much. Always fun, Mike. Great work. And I look forward to the next time, pal.
Thanks, Pete. Happy Halloween, everybody.
You too, buddy. That's Mike Clemens. Man, he does a great job. We're coming back for Act 2 after the news. Don't go anywhere, folks. Our question of the night is, what is the scariest creature or monster to you? Let us know. Be part of the show. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightwing.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on Civic Media app.
From ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Two federal judges ruling simultaneously today that the Trump administration will have to continue paying for the SNAP food aid program using emergency reserve funds during the government shutdown.
$5 to $6 billion in the fund would not be enough to cover the program for the month of November, but both judges sitting in Massachusetts and in Rhode Island say it must go out ASAP.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. President Trump responding on social media saying he would be honored to provide funding if the court would clarify how we can legally fund SNAP as soon as possible. Air traffic controllers not getting paid during the shutdown, many calling in sick. Staffing shortages are getting critical across the country. Horrific satellite images illustrating the mass killing by a Sudanese rebel group in Darfur. Blood and bodies visible from space. The FBI says it's thwarted a potential Halloween weekend terrorist attack in Michigan tied to a foreign terrorist organization. This is ABC News.